There are forces at work right now trying to shut down the National Day of Prayer. What they don't realize is you can't stop prayer. You can't stop Greg in Pittsburgh or Joni in Mobile. You can't stop Melia in Augusta or Mickey in Los Angeles or TC in Colorado Springs. You can try, but you can't stop prayer. Because prayer is core to who we are and where we are. Prayer transforms us and transforms our nation. And once we start, you can't stop us, because our country needs us and our God compels us to pray. They may try to shut down the National Day of Prayer, but they can't stop us from praying. The National Day of Prayer is the first Thursday in May, but start praying for our nation today. Find out more at nationaldayofprayer.org. nationaldayofprayer.org.
All right, let's turn in the Word of God to Philippians chapter number 2. And I'll apologize in advance if I cough. I am evidently allergic to these live flowers or the pollen on them or something, because my throat is closing up, and that is no good. You guys got to hear me talk, and I'm up here hacking and whatever else I'm going to do. Thank you, Brother Sam. I'll do it to the glory of God. Well, I've heard all the bow tie jokes I can stand, so this may be the end of the bow tie for me. I thought it was a good idea, but I didn't think about where to put my microphone. I got nowhere to hang the thing, and it feels funny off to the side. And I have this bad habit of pulling my tie from down low, making sure it's straight. And I've been pulling all morning. There's nothing there. So I'm not against it if you like it, but I don't like it for me so much. I don't. Brother Ken told me Bill Nye called and wants his tie back. And then one of you said, no, Pee-wee Herman. And I said, man. All right. Philippians chapter number 2. Our text this morning is verse number 6. But if you would read with me from verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, happy Easter. Today is our resurrection day. And I was reminded and glad to be reminded that while we do get excited, especially today, every day for the believer is Resurrection Day. He's not just alive today. And we can worship this way any day of the year, but it's very special this day, isn't it? The day we set aside to celebrate that Jesus is alive. He was crucified, He conquered death, and He is now alive. And as we spend this time celebrating Jesus, I want to take some time here this morning, focus around verse number 6, and be sure that you know the truth about Jesus. Don't you like to know the truth about things? Some things I don't, but most things I want to know the truth about Him. And some things it's important in life for someone to sit us down and say, well, I think it should be best if you just knew the truth about this. And that's kind of what I want to do here this morning, not to put a damper on our celebration, but what are we celebrating if we don't understand the truth? And that's what I want to talk to you about, that you know the truth about Jesus. From Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, the Bible says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? As we begin looking at the truth about Jesus, we have to understand the who here in chapter number 6, or answer the question of who. Who are we speaking about? Who are we thinking of today? As Paul, in his great after-the-fact account of the very things that we've been focused on in this past week, he gives us these things have happened, and I'm writing to you again that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, that speaks of his birth, went to the cross, his death, and God hath highly exalted him. His resurrection, his ascension. The gospel is here in these verses, just not written as similarly as we are used to hearing them. But Paul here, in this after the fact account, says that we should have the mind of Christ in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he begins in verse number 6 here by saying, who? Who is this that we should follow his example? Now, I will say to you that before we can understand the truth about Jesus, we must debunk the myth. Do you know anyone who doesn't know who Jesus is? Everybody. Unless they're a child who's just not come around to understanding things yet, but everybody. But even my 1.5-year-old son, who can barely say words, will look up at me at night as I lay him in his bed, and we have our little routine. He says, light on, and that means I want to turn my light off, and I walk him over there to the light switch, and he loves to push the switch and turn the light. He would go up and down, if I would let him. And then I'll lay him in his baby bed there with those high rails, you know, it's like an infant jail cell. And put him in there, and through the bars, he'll look at me and say, tuck, tuck, Daddy. And that means tuck me in, I tuck him in. And then he'll say, sunshine, and I'll sing, You Are My Sunshine. And while you may not like to hear me sing, he loves to hear his daddy sing. And usually right in the middle of sunshine, I guess he gets tired of hearing me say it, he'll say, Jesus. And he wants me to sing, Jesus loves me, or Jesus loves the little children, or Jesus loves the little ones like me. I don't ever know which one. So I just take off on Jesus loves me. And then he'll say, no. And then I'll say, Jesus loves the little children. I'll start singing that, and he'll say, no. And then I'll say, Jesus loves the little ones like, and he'll say, me. And that's how he goes to bed every night. I mean, he doesn't understand who Jesus is, but he has an awareness of the name Jesus, and at least there's a song surrounding this. Everybody knows who Jesus is. But how many myths are there out there about who Jesus is? We don't understand the truth of Jesus because we can't get past the myth of Jesus. Jesus was not just another religious leader. Jesus was not just a prophet. Jesus was not just a Jewish rabbi. Jesus was not just a humanitarian. Jesus was not just a good man. Jesus was not just a historical figure who is still a good example. Jesus was not just a miracle worker. Jesus was not just a great leader. Jesus was not just blank, and you can fill in the blank with whatever is on your mind here today or your thoughts upon Jesus on this day, because we all have these things about Jesus that we say, I love Jesus because of this. We all have them. There are reasons that we all felt drawn to get up, to get dressed, and to happily come and attend church today of all days. I mean, if you weren't going to miss one day of church all this year, today was the day that you said, we've got to go to church today. Am I wrong? That's how last night, I said, I'm taking a vitamin C before bed. I told Shanae, I was looking at my throat. I said, I hope I don't get sick. She said, do you feel sick? And I was like, no, but tomorrow, I don't want to be sick of all days. I don't feel sick, but if I'm going to get sick any day, I don't want to be tomorrow. We all feel drawn to this special day because we're celebrating Jesus. But before we can understand the truth of Jesus, we have to debunk the myths. Jesus was not just this laundry list of earthly things that we can put beside his name. If that were all that Jesus were, then our celebration today would be in vain. These things do characterize him. He was all of these things, but he was more. So I want you to understand today the truth about Jesus. While sightseeing in the company of an old guide and a group of tourists, we're shown a great ancient temple in Egypt. On top of one of the tall columns of this temple was a small house, and they were curious about how it got there. Are you curious about how a house got on top of a column on a temple in the middle of Egypt somewhere? Me too. The guide explained that during the last century, before the excavations were begun, the area on which they were standing was covered with sand. One local farmer tried to find a solid foundation for his home and scratched about in the sand to find some bedrock on which to build. In time, he came upon a solid, smooth surface, and he built his home there. In the desert, where the wind is constantly blowing, where the sand shifts according to the air currents, anything permanent will cause the sand to shift away from it. As sand drifted away from his cottage, the farmer discovered that his house was actually built on a piece of hand-carved stone, presumably from an ancient temple. It was only after excavations had begun that the farmer realized that the stone was a standing column. And after the excavations were completed, he found that his home was nearly 80 feet above ground level and that an entire ancient temple had been below the surface. See, many celebrate in some form today, all originating from the biblical account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Even those who won't go to church, they'll go to some family member's house, hunt eggs, have a ham, and they'll stop today, of all days, and say grace. They'll say something. It all goes back to Jesus. But I fear that so many in the world today do not understand the truth about Jesus. Most people claim that their lives are built upon Jesus Christ. But they know just as little about Him as this Egyptian farmer knew about the foundation of his home. Most will admit of Christ's existence, acknowledge His example, and speak of Him as a great religious leader. And while all these things are true, by themselves they are misleading. They are as misleading as the Egyptian farmer's belief that he was building his house upon bedrock. The historical Jesus was more than our petty list of earthly accomplishments given to Him today. But most of the truth about Him lies below the surface. Many see Jesus as a solid place to build a house. We go to church because it's the right thing to do. We have a Bible out in our home. It's a family heirloom. We pray before meals simply because we are thankful. The tragedy is they never realize the mighty temple that is below the surface. Furthermore, some know but purposely deny this truth. You see, the truth about Jesus, the most important truth about Jesus is He was God. That is who. That is who we worship today. That is why we do all of this. That is why we put an ad in the paper and send out a mailer and put out special flowers and sing special songs and get it up at special times and put on special clothes and sing special songs and worship and get excited. And all of this is because of Jesus. And the truth about Jesus is that He was God come in the flesh to redeem sinful man back into Himself. God the Son come in the flesh to redeem sinners. So as we begin verse number 6, we first see who, and as we continue, we see being in the form of God. You see, as I said, He was God. Some of your minds immediately went to, well, I thought God was God and Jesus was God's Son. Right? If we're not careful, that can become very confusing to us. But the Bible plainly states that Jesus, being in the form of God. See, this is where we begin to excavate the sand away from our solid foundation and realize the treasure that is below. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1:15, Paul writes, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews chapter number 1, the first three verses, the writer says this, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, Jesus cannot be completely understood by the facts of His earthly life alone. By taking Jesus only by the facts given to us in the gospel on the surface of His earthly life alone, then He's just a good man. He is just a rabbi. He is just someone who went to a cross and died and rose from the grave. But when we begin to understand what lies below the surface of this rock that we build our spiritual houses on, we see that it is not just a nice solid place to build a house, yet below the surface it is a temple. It is a tabernacle. It is God in the flesh come for us. Amen. Almighty God, Creator God, Yahweh. Jesus Christ the man was also God. Being in the form of God, or being in very nature God. You see, when we put it in our English understanding, it demeans who Christ was. When we say being in the form of God, well, I could put a costume on this morning and be in the form of Bozo the Clown. But that does not make me Bozo the Clown. Well, this bow tie's turning out well for me. This is good. Jesus was more than just in the form of God. In His very nature, He was God. It has been well said that Jesus possessed inwardly and displayed outwardly the very nature of God Himself, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Many will accept that Christ was God's Son, but only to the level that we are all the children of our Creator, our Father God. See, many, nobody has a problem with, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We're all God's children. When I get in trouble, God helps me out. Jesus has my back. And they accept the fact that just as we are sons and daughters of God, so Christ was the Son of God, but it's more than that. Christ was not only God's Son, He was God's equal. You and I are not and never will be God's equal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, Trinitarian in nature, Almighty God. God is God in all three forms. It's not Father, then Son, then Spirit. No, it's God, then God, then God. That's the truth about Jesus. That is what we celebrate on Easter. He was equal with God. But still, He did not consider His equality with God as something selfishly to be held on to. See, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what does it say in verse number 7? But made Himself of no reputation. He poured Himself out upon the earth. He poured Himself out upon the cross. He laid aside His robes of righteousness and took the wrath of God Himself upon Himself for you and I. He thought His godliness, His holiness, His righteousness, His equality with God as not something selfishly to be held on to. He didn't think of Himself. He thought of us. His mind, this mind that should be in you, His mind was that of unselfish concern for others. This was the mind of Christ, an attitude that says, I cannot keep my privileges for myself, I must use them for others. So He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and gladly laid aside and paid whatever the price. Why is it so important that we become aware of this? Why do I have to get you past Christ is risen? I don't know if you're supposed to say that then. Why do I have to get us past that? I mean, that's good. And that's enough for today. It really is. But why do I need to sit us down and say, are you sure that you understand the truth about Jesus? Why is it important that we become aware of this? The reason is this, because there is no real knowledge of the Father apart from a knowledge of the Son. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then He followed that up in verse number 6 with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Until we understand the truth about Jesus, we can't through Jesus come to the Father. Jesus Christ, God, God the Son, laid this aside and went to the cross. He gave His life. He was buried. He conquered death and rose from the dead. And then He ascended back to the Father. And is there alive today. This is the truth about Jesus. And here's my invitation to you today. Is this the Jesus you're following? Ask yourself that today. Is this the Jesus that I'm following? Did you come here today aware of these facts and desiring to worship Him because of it? Or did you just come here today because Easter is a day that you're supposed to go to church? I'm going to be honest with you. I could be the worst sinner on the face of the earth. I could be. Y'all wouldn't know it. Not really. But I could just be, you know, dirty, low down, good for nothing, rotten, all these things that we say about everybody who didn't come to church this morning. Right? No, I'm just kidding. I could be the worst sinner on the face of the earth. I'd show up on Easter and Mother's Day. You know why? Because I'm afraid of my mother. No, I'm not afraid of my mother. Because I love my mother and I'm afraid of my father. Can all you sons in here, give me an amen right there. Come on now. You know that's the truth. I mean, you know what to do. We don't have to come on Father's Day. No offense, Dad. But you do have to come on Mother's Day. I mean, you've got to go to church on Mother's Day, and you better be there on Easter, too. And Mother's Day, you better pin a rose on her or something. You know, do something. Why did you come to church today? Jesus is our foundation. He is this rock upon which our house is built. But below the surface, there's great treasure. Below the surface, He is the treasure. He is an ancient temple waiting to be discovered. He is an artifact to be worshipped after discovery. Today, Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday, is most definitely a day for this. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Amen. Matthew 28:6. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Luke chapter 24, verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. Let's stand this morning. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, Miss Wiggins is going to play a verse of an invitation song for us. And for our invitation this morning, as you come, come praying this. Father, help me today to worship You not only for the solid rock that You are, but that treasure below the surface that I have found You to be. And if you're here today and you're just at church because it's Easter, I'm glad you're here. And I don't mean to demean you for being here for whatever your reason. But my point to say to you today is, there's more to it. The truth about Easter, the truth about Jesus is this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, God in the flesh, wants to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master. Accept Him today and experience the real reason of this season. As Miss Wiggins plays a song, if you'd like to come this morning and pray, come right now. If you're here today and you've never been saved, come right now. Today is the day of salvation. This is the hour. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Come and allow Jesus to be Lord in your life. I can show you on the authority of the Word of God how to become a believer today on this Resurrection Day.